Welcome back to another Taproot podcast. This week I am joined with Justin and Ken, and we are going to be talking about if AI is going to save us and make safety better. So I want to jump in with kind of this idea of the benefits of AI and safety versus the risks of AI and safety, because I think there is a ton of marketing and ideas. Whenever you have a new technology, there's so many people trying so many different things. And from a safety perspective, we really need to be thinking about risk. We really need to be thinking about is the adoption of a technology going to affect people's lives, people's livelihoods, environment? There's a lot of things at risk when it comes to using artificial intelligence for safety. So I want to jump in with this topic, and I think the easiest way to do that is to kind of define some of the different ways people might be using AI.
Sure.
So one of the ways that I have seen is what I would call commercial AI uses. So have you guys seen any recently that you think would be commercial that sticks in your mind?
Well, I see. I mean, there's a... I almost rather say commercialization of AI. We've decided that that AI will just pretty much take care of any of the problems that we have out there, and that it's hard to pinpoint a specific one. I don't know if I have a good example.
I'll give you one that's the first that I've seen, which was they use AI for monitoring workers, and you could have it tell you. If there's someone at risk, if somebody's fallen, if they're not wearing PPE. So I've seen a lot of different vision systems coming out that are there to catch. And a lot of the claims are AI is going to help that and make it better.
Yeah, the other piece of it I see also to go in that direction, I see people using it to, you know, I got to give a lecture or a talk to my group about, you know, whatever, working at heights. And we decide we're going to have AI write our lecture for us, and it's going to have all the data they need, and it's going to tell them all the stuff. So that's one place I've seen it, where we decide we're going to use it in place of people giving training or putting training together. We're going to have AI put our training together for us. I've seen that.
Yeah, so I would kind of define you've got AI as like a system that is, you know, providing either some sort of monitoring, data analytics,
accountability system.
Well, it can do things that you as a person can't, right? There's using AI that way. Then you can kind of see maybe what you're saying, Ken. There's AI as a, we'll say a learning tool or as replacement for the hours it would take you to do something. And then there's this whole other category of autonomous AI and driving vehicles, piloting robots and doing those. And I think they're all slightly different. And I think we can take a look at the benefits of some of these versus the risks. I think the hottest one would be using AI for supplementing safety tasks you don't want to do. So one of these would be, and I want to get your guys' opinion on this, AI for JSAs, using AI to write your job safety analysis. What's your thought on this?
Well, a job safety analysis is going through and saying, what are all the hazards that are associated with the job, and how do we properly make sure that we have analyzed them? We've looked at them before we go out to a job site. One of the problems we see just with human intelligence is that it takes so long to do that it's not a value-added activity anymore. We just get a lot of JSA papers with no thought involved. So there's a risk there of adding AI to that, because now we're putting even less human thought into these things. But if it's used properly, it's a tool to really put all of these things together that maybe, you know, a particular human might not think to look at or remember to look at. You know, if we've looked at the energy wheel before, most humans don't really look at anything outside of the mechanical or, you know, movement.
The ones energies. They're familiar with.
Yeah, the really familiar ones. But then having a tool like AI would help us bring in, you know, hey, let's also think about these other hazards that are associated with similar jobs to make sure we don't miss them on this particular job.
Yeah.
So that is a benefit of it, but there's the risk of less human involvement, and there's, I would say, a bigger risk of less thought and less value added, even with more comprehensive.
I always, the kind of more big picture, kind of backing out of that, I think AI can be used as a tool, and for specifically, let's talk about JSAs, mm-hmm. To give you a framework to start from. What I'm concerned with is people then decide that that is complete, that it's correct and complete, and it covers everything. And these AI systems have been proven to be 60 to 70% inaccurate in most cases. I did a test myself just recently on one where all I wanted to do was know what the inflation rate was between 2016 and 2024. That's all I want to know. What's the inflation rate? U.S. inflation rate.
It's a pretty hard data on that that you should be able to find.
So.
You would think
Wouldn't
that
you?
Answer just comes up.
I asked it three different ways, and I just changed one or two words, and I got between 17 and 34%. Now, and if I had just asked it one time, I would have grabbed that first number and said, well, of course that's the right number. I mean, why
and
would
you still
that
don't know which is the right number.
And now out of all that, I still don't know what's the right number. It probably would have been better just doing a Google search instead of trying to have AI collate some kind of data. And I'm sure, don't get me wrong, I understand that AI is all dependent, well, not all, but it's highly dependent on how you ask the question. So good chance I did a crappy job of asking the question. But if I don't know any better or how to ask the right question, I'll end up with these terrible answers that I can't really vet very well.
So I think there's something important when we think about you're using AI for, we'll call it, generation of content. So this would be JSAs, hazard assessments,
training plans,
any of these kind of things where it's writing something for you. You can do it, maybe we'll say one of two ways. Either it writes the first draft and you look at it and tweak it, or you write the first draft and have AI look at it and tweak it. Mm-hmm. The problem is with both of those is AI lacks nuance. It lacks a nuanced understanding of the world at the moment, but it really lacks a nuanced understanding of your company's circumstances.
Your particular task that you're looking at.
And you can add a lot of context, a lot of what you're saying, right? The way you write a prompt and provide context and support, it's like the difference in asking AI, like, what is the inflation rate? And then giving it like a role. You are a investor in this that's analyzing this for this factor, like you're giving it context in the prompt. Mm-hmm. Even when you do that, there's things that say that AI just lacks some of that nuanced understanding. So I think one of the big risks for people is when they're having AI generate things like a JSA, there's gonna be this tendency to just trust that it did it right.
Right.
And you really can't. You really can't just trust that it's doing it right. At least not at this
Part of that is age. The hype that's gone into this. I mean, ChatGPT came out, 2022, I think, is when it really was released.
So blew, it blew up, yeah.
That's when it was really released, when people started, when it was accessible to people.
Yeah.
And that's only a few years ago. These models are based on the input that's put into them for them to feed off of. And if the data you've put in is biased somehow or is missing stuff or is wrong, you'll get biased, missing, and wrong results when you put it out.
And there's no
good way to verify in many cases.
And it's not even necessarily that the data that was put in is wrong, because the data could be right, but the way language models work is there's a level of experimentation that they do, and you get better results on the whole by doing this, but it's not going to give you the exact same answer every time because it needs to have some variability to make it sound better.
Right.
But when you do that with things that are hard and fast facts, like things involving safety regulations, for example, you can't change the words because the words are the intent. Like the law is the law. And so you got to be careful of this. When I did the Is AI Error and Human Error the Same webinar that I did a little mm-hmm. while back, one of the things that was a common AI failure point was misinformation hallucinations. It makes up facts. There was a recent test of, I think they did several AI models. I know it was definitely done with Gemini. And what they did is they gave it a shop to basically manage. And it would manage inventory of essentially what was a vending machine, right? inventory came in, people would purchase stuff, and it would go out.
Right.
And it was just supposed to manage a simple vending machine.
Sure.
Right? You'd think that would be easy.
How easy
for,
is that?
Yeah. Well, it ends up hallucinating things, and it was an AI talking to other AIs. So they had other AIs playing the role of other people that would come in, and it would do things like, okay, Ken, you need to send an email to Justin about this topic and get information from him. And the AI would just make up that it had had a conversation with Justin. It would never reach out to a Justin and send them information. It would just make it up and say, I had that conversation with Justin. This is what he said. And so it would do things like that. And so the idea that these AIs are going to make up something that isn't real,
that you can't test a lot of times.
And you may not notice it. If you're not paying close attention, you may not have realized that it didn't talk to Justin.
Yeah.
So it's going to make up data. And that is very scary when it comes to things like procedure writing,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to things like JSAs, hazard assessments. Because if it's just making something up that isn't real, well, me as an operator, how can I trust this?
Right.
And if I can't trust it, am I going to use it?
My son is an IT-ish kind of guy, and they write, I'm going to say words here that I don't even know what I'm talking about, but he writes scripts to update hardware, and they use AI for that, and they say, I need a script that will update this model modem, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And he tells me it's usually not right, but it's close enough where they can then go in and test it and run it. A software program, you can run it and see the results and say, yep, that worked, or nope, that didn't work. You can actually test it. Things like give me a hazard assessment of these guys are going to do a crane lift over here. It's tough to test.
You don't want to test it. Right? You don't want to test it with people.
Exactly. It's really tough to do a test on that to see if it works. So places where you can run a test and see if it's done and saved you some time, where it would have taken you 3 hours to write this and now it's taking you 5 minutes, I can test it, do it again, and maybe 15 minutes later, I have a great output that I've tested and I know it works. That, I think it's an awesome tool for that. For untestable stuff or things that you don't want to test, the level of trust you have to put in it, I just don't have that. It's not there yet.
Yeah, and I think when I look at these, there's AI taking the place of grunt work you don't want to do, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen people that are like, look, I don't want to write 700 training packages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to write these. We have to do this, but I don't want to write all of it. I want to give it this and it'll write it for me, and then I can come in and tweak it, and yep. it'll be a little faster for me that way. And I get it, because safety people are given a lot of different job responsibilities. They've got a lot of different things that are pulling for their attention and resources. And so the idea would be, where can I use AI that's not a risk but a benefit? And I think that's where you've got to take this nuanced approach. One of the things I know we see a lot right now is different people claiming they can use AI for incident investigations. Mm-hmm. My biggest concern with that comes not necessarily from the results that it will put out. I am worried about that, but that might get better with time. What I do worry about is, do people actually learn anything from these?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a paper released by MIT. It was a pre-release, but it's still in peer review right now. But I think it's a really impactful paper. They looked at three different groups. There were groups that used ChatGPT to write a paper on a topic. There's people that used ChatGPT to write a paper and then they modified it. And there's people that just use Google search. They went and searched and got the information and then wrote the paper.
Basically like we used to when we had to go to the library and go get our references, right? Yeah. But they use Google, didn't they?
Yeah, it's basically anybody writing a paper before 2019, right? You know, it's like it's students before 2019, students after 2020, right? Yeah. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting, it's not necessarily just what the brain, because they were looking at what your brain actually does mm-hmm. while you're doing this. And there was a lot of interesting findings from there. But I thought the more interesting thing to me was the after effect. The people that wrote it using ChatGPT did not remember really any of the points that they made in their paper. Their papers were boring and forgettable. They got a lot of facts.
Including to themselves.
Including to themselves.
Right.
And so imagine you had an investigation. You're supposed to learn something and change your organization. And you input this information and it gives you your answer and says, do this. Well, if you're forgetting really what the investigation was, have you really learned from it? Are you going to be able to take that and really look and see, ooh, here are other places I should apply this learning?
And does it change the wiring? Does it change your thinking?
Exactly.
Right?
It doesn't change the wiring, and it doesn't make – imagine you spent a career in safety, and you wrote safety programs, JSAs. You've been doing this for 30 years.
Did investigations.
You've built up 30 years of knowledge. If you took that same amount of time and you were just putting prompts and having ChatGPT write that, you put those two people in a room together, one of them has so much more experience and nuance, and the other is basically like they're still the first year on the job.
Yeah. They're really good at putting prompts into something.
You know? and I imagine a lot in the coming years, the people that are going to be, they're getting promotions based on, you know, oh, they wrote really well and they got all these things done. But their knowledge, they're so paper thin in their knowledge that it's like if something uncertain comes up, they're not going to have that background knowledge to be able to make those nuanced decisions. I worry about that. And I think that's a big problem of using AI to replace some of the tasks that require learning.
Right.
Absolutely. And being able, having that understanding and that knowledge to deal with things when they go wrong is really the most important thing that we lose when we outsource all of that thought and experience to a machine. You know, we came out of the submarine force. Ken and I both came out of the submarine force. And Russia, long before, you know, a lot of the things we know as modern electronics, was able to completely automate the engine room on their submarine. People didn't really even have to go back into the engine room, one of the most dangerous places day to day on a submarine, and things worked great until they didn't. They automated the engine room, so they were able to get rid of a lot of the normal mechanics and electricians that we had on board just because their jobs were done. But then one thing in the engine room breaks, and you go back into the engine room for the first time. It's like, I don't know where any of this equipment is that I need to go fix. And okay, here it is. I've maybe seen this once or twice in training, and I don't actually know how to fix it. And by the time this all worked out, every single person on the submarine had been up for 72 hours straight, and you know that brings a lot of other human performance problems. So automation has a lot of good that can come from it when it works. But like Ken said, when I feed all this task to AI and it spits out an answer, that's really great until it starts hallucinating that we're safe when we're actually not safe and we should have caught it. And then you get into the, is the AI mistake a, you know, something like a human error that we need to go fix, or is it a lot more complex and nobody's actually responsible for it unless they're going to call the trainer. Yeah.
The black box that nobody knows what it actually is thinking.
What's it doing in there? Yeah. Yep.
So I think that's a good point. And that kind of transitions to a different way you might see AI used in safety, which is the use of autonomy, of autonomous robots, autonomous machines, autonomous programs that are managing systems. So I think of... If you watched Minority Report, when, you know, back when that first came out, they had all of the vehicles were being driven by a computer system. It wasn't people driving. Everybody's riding in the pod that was moving around at high speeds. Same with the movie iRobot, right? The idea of a person driving is insane.
Right.
And I think that future is coming sooner rather than later for us.
I mean, we see
right now with Tesla and Waze and all these different, you know, companies doing that. I think in the long term they will be better at driving than people.
I agree.
And it gets people out of the monitoring process. However, there is a graph that we talk about in our human performance class, and it was it came from a bar napkin conversation between Rasmussen and Mark about autonomy and performance. And it's one of my favorite graphs on this one. And it's a goodness of design and design variables. So the idea is, if you've got, and if I'm drawing this and there's no graphic for this, but we'll send one in here. You've got a normal human doing work. They can handle a lot of variability, right? uncertainty. I get to the job site and it's not normal. There's something weird about it. A human can figure out and adapt.
Still get the job done.
And get the job done. We're really good about that. But they're also, we're not the best in performance. We're not going to be, you know, we don't run at the same rate as machines. But we can handle a lot of things not being perfect.
Right.
However, machines, you can get a super high level of performance. But if something slightly goes out of the variable, it crashes and breaks. I think about this a lot when it came to manufacturing. So like we used to have these really old machines that were hand driven and you blued them in and you ran them. And then we got new CNC machines. And so you got this old one that they're like cranking it in and like running it and playing with variables. And it's not fast. And you got a CNC machine and it's like pop this thing in. It ran it, popped it out, ran it, popped it out. And it was like running through pieces way fast. But if there was some variable, like, oh, this one was slightly out of tolerance and slightly different, the machine crashes. Versus the person one, I mean, they would have run anything.
They could have handled any of it. They would have known why it was out of tolerance, fixed it, and you would have been good.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like those design variables are going to be a big problem when it comes to AI and learning. And a lot of the approach right now is that they can do simulation and volume, and that'll get them through that. But it'll take a while, I think. It's not going to be next year that they're going to be eliminating people. Even when you have the equipment and the technology, it still has to get the hours in.
So one of the problems, though, that is that, you know, we won't be eliminating people. We shouldn't be eliminating people. But I think there's too many people buying into the hype that is thrown out there, that is AI is going to do this and AI is going to do that and look what it does. And because people don't understand AI as well, it's like crypto. People don't understand crypto, right? So, oh, buy crypto. We don't even know what that is half the time. AI is kind of the same thing. It's this black box that you had mentioned where we put stuff in and then stuff comes out. And a marketing person can tell you anything they want about what's in that black box. And you really have no recourse to figure it out. Throwing a smokescreen at you. I had a different word in my head, but
you can't troubleshoot because there's no way to prove what actually happened went wrong.
And I'm concerned that people are going to say, "Oh, the marketing guy told me this black box does this, so I can now go do this," and it's not there yet.
So I think about safety data, and I've heard people that have used AI, and they'll claim that it was to great effect, and I won't say they did or didn't. But they'll take their behavior-based safety observations or some safety observation they do. And if you're a large enough company, that's a huge amount of data to sift through and really understand. And so they're giving that data to AI, and AI is coming through and providing insights and saying, hey, you've got a problem with this that you need to go address, or you have a thing. And you can't pinpoint back to what exactly it's making that judgment call off of.
Right.
So you're either trusting that it is and you're just doing it and you're hoping for good results, which might be the case,
right?
Or you've got a lot of garbage in, garbage out. And I always worry about that kind of concept, because even if I'm taking in these observations, how do I know these observations are true, valid, and giving me info that I, you know, want? Because when there's bias involved, like I think of a safety observation, I remember doing them myself and I had things that I looked for and I did. And I assume everyone else was the same way. Right. And there was things that they had a bias to look for. Well, if you've got a whole organization of people that are biased to look for that example, the hazard assessments, they're biased to look for falls and moving equipment. Well, that you're never going to see the stuff of temperature, time, chemical reactions. You're not going to see those.
And that's the
up.
Data you fed into this AI
exactly.
guy. Go take a look for. So they tell you have all kinds of problems with this stuff that you've never even looked for the other stuff.
And they're not looking for the things that you're not looking for. And so I think there's a whole garbage in, garbage out. I think AI has the potential to learn that. I remember I was giving, I tried playing around with some AI use for Excel data and things like that. And it does a decent job of going, hey, you know, for me, I was looking at like countries, and there was all this data that was input with, you know, sometimes Denmark was capitalized and sometimes it was lowercase, and sometimes, which when you try to do a pivot table, it like messes everything up, mm-hmm. because nobody wrote, sometimes it's the abbreviation. Mm-hmm. Well, AI can go through and go, oh, it's all Denmark.
Yep.
You know, and it can sort that and fix it really easy versus me having to go in manually do it. It takes
an hour.
Yep. So that's like AI can do those kind of things well, but you then try to go, well, okay, now take this and extrapolate something interesting about it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very good at really understanding the nuance behind why something was unique. Mm-hmm. So again, I think it will get better as we get better with giving it nuance. But I think, like you said, there's a lot of marketing buzz, and I think we can take some approach. So what I want to do is a fast round of a good use of AI or not. So I want you to tell me if you think this is a good use of AI or not. And we'll run through this. So writing JSAs, good use of AI or not?
Yes, I think it's a good skeleton.
Go with your gut on this. Yes. For writing a skeleton, but you got to check it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say yes to that.
Coming up with weekly toolbox talk ideas.
No.
Probably not.
Okay. I would say yes to that. I think as a idea generation for you to come up with topics, I think it's a good way.
Maybe.
But not probably.
You're going to generate a lot of wasteful ones because it's pulling from every other place instead of my job
site.
That's
my concern.
Well, you actually, you'd be.
I don't care about aircraft manufacturing talks if I'm doing construction.
Y'all haven't said that. Toolbox talks are random.
all right. If you need some randomness, yeah, go throw it in.
making safety slogans and posters. Generation of content.
You know, I would have said yes until I tried to make a poster the other day for my beekeeping. what a crappy poster it made. It was horrible. It was completely wrong. So.
Also common in safety posters. writing corrective action plans.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
How about researching solutions to ergonomic and human factors problems?
Maybe. I think it'd give you a starting point again.
Yeah, using it as a research assistant, probably, yeah.
Summarizing new safety regulations.
No.
I might actually say yes to that one. I might.
I think sure. I could definitely tell you the difference between what was updated.
Well, what are we using the summary for? If it's just, hey, here's what's going on, yes. General ideas, giving all that, it's excellent for that. Saying, here is how we're going to use these safety regulations in our company.
Wouldn't do that.
As a problem statement for here's what we need to comply to, absolutely not.
Yep.
Creating safety programs to adhere to ISO standards.
No. No. Listing the ISO requirements might be okay. Yes. I would probably stop at that point, though.
Yeah. Researching engineering control ideas for different equipment.
Engineering control ideas. Maybe as a starting again, but I wouldn't go too deep. I wouldn't go too far.
Absolutely, because there could be some company that has a really terrible website that would never pop up on Google for me searching it, but that AI would fall out. So pretty good at finding the obscure, I would say, as a starting point for the research. Yeah. And, you know, places like the world-class companies that don't really advertise at all, let's gonna go find some good stuff out there.
Could be.
Rewriting bad procedures to make them better.
It might not do too bad at that. It might, as long as you give it a correct procedure and then say I need it to be more grammatically and fix all the grammarish kind of stuff. And
bulletize it, right?
Yeah, that might be okay.
Yeah, well, and giving it the metrics that we know to work, the specificity index, the complexity index, write a procedure or reduce this procedure from 4.0 level complexity down to 1.5 level complexity.
Wouldn't want to write a procedure.
I think you have to heavily asterisk and say must be verified safely.
Yes.
By an
expert human at your company.
You won't have those anymore.
They're gone.
Yeah, that's gone.
And that's the thing. If all of our experts that can verify that know what right looks like, it's completely useless, and that's where the risk comes in.
All right. Real-time monitoring of humans for hazards and safety.
Yes.
Maybe.
Because I can put something, an AI-controlled camera in a car that says, hey, your seatbelt is behind your back. Fix yourself. or your eyes are not on the road, fix yourself, or you're on your cell phone, fix yourself. It's a great accountability tool. But for something a little more complex than the one person scenario in a wheel, you know, for very simple answers, I'd probably say no.
That's I was going to say exactly the same thing. For a very simple task, one specific, one human task, probably might do okay at that, maybe.
I think one of the things that would be good to utilize it for would be remote workers. A lot of times you've got one guy out in the field by themselves, and having something monitoring them and being able to alert and get resources in the event of a problem. You know, if somebody... Yeah.
Remote workers, like lone workers.
Yes, yes.
Not me working alone.
Oh, working from home, too, because that's the whole mouse monitoring. That works as well, but that wasn't what I was intending.
I don't want anything monitoring if I have pants on.
I'll agree. It's people doing work in remote locations.
Yep. I'd say absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I think we've covered a lot of different uses and some of the things to think about. If I was going to sum it up, it's if you're going to be using AI, you still have to have expertise evaluating it. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be using AI for higher risk activities, you need to prove it out first. Yep. And that comes with a level of uncertainty and risk. And I'll leave you guys with this. It doesn't matter how good a plan or an idea is that you get from AI, if you lack the conviction and understanding to know how to apply it, you're going to get bad results. You want to learn more about AI, check out some of our older videos looking at the difference between human error and AI error. And if you want to have more discussions like this, come to the Taproot Summit. We've got several sessions on AI there, and you can check out and have some more conversations with us about artificial intelligence. We'll see you at the next Taproot podcast.